On today's show, the Final Fantasy XIV crossover is now live, the title Monster of Sunbreak comes to Monster Hunter Now, and I started my Monster Hunter Stories journey. So don't forget your hot drinks as we ready up for this episode of The Palabros. Maybe that's why we don't do a live, because I mess up a lot more. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the real episode 20 of The Palabros. Full stop right there. I know the last episode was episode 19, yet I recorded episode 20. How hard is it to count from 1 to 20? Who knows? I'm tired. This is a podcast that I do, this, 10:30 p.m. at night after an 8-hour shift. Sue me, whatever. Anyways, this is the Palabros podcast, where a group of friends, or sometimes me, get together to talk about anything and everything Monster Hunter. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, technically the only host tonight, and the first to cart, Patrick Jovez. Looks like alongside me in the chat, we actually have Funky Gouda. So, you know, fellow supporter of the show. Looks like we have a couple other more people. Thank you guys for coming through. This is the first ever live episode of the Palabros podcast, a Monster Hunter podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Monster Hunter. But before we get into today's episode, let's go on to a little bit of housekeeping for you. Everyone except me has carded. That's right, we were hunting a Puke Puke, and all of a sudden, Devil Joe showed up and just absolutely destroyed everybody. That's why I'm the only host for today. Usually, there's Max, you know, we have Brian, Ryan, maybe a couple guests. They all just wiped. It was a massacre. There's palicos and hunting horns everywhere. I was the sole survivor from the hunt, so today you're stuck with me until we can get the rest of the Palabros back on their feet. Also, we will be finishing the Palabros Community Weapon Design Tournament when all four Palabros are able to get back together. We know that was probably one of our more popular episodes that we just recorded. We know everyone wants to get to part two, but we want to do it as a team. And we know that Capcom has actually finished picking the winner for the official contest. But we don't know who finished it. Not who finished it, but who actually was the winner. So we're going to continue our bracket, pick our winner, and we're going to see how both of those line up. Still be fun, still be a surprise, and we hope you guys can join us for that episode. Lastly, since everyone's out and I miss Monster Hunter Mastery, which is our Monster Hunter trivia section, you are going to be this week's contestant. And today, we are playing the first ever trivia game, Shrieks and Geeks. In this game, you'll have till the end of the episode to figure out the monster based on the monster's roar. Are you ready, Hunter? This is your clue for Shrieks and Geeks. That was your clue for this round of Shrieks and Geeks for our trivia segment, Monster Hunter Mastery. Go ahead and leave your guess in the comment section of this video. But for now, let me remind you that this is the Palabros podcast, where each and every episode we try to keep you up to date on the latest Monster Hunter news, play Monster Hunter trivia, and in general, talk about one of our favorite franchises. So don't forget, you can get each and every episode on youtube.com/thepalabros, Spotify, and a variety of other podcast services for your listening pleasure. And if you like what we do, please consider liking, subscribing, sharing this episode with friends, and hitting that bell icon to help support us and to know when each of the latest episodes are posted. with all that out the way, let's begin with the latest in Monster Hunter news. Today in Monster Hunter news, we have two stories. Our first story, Capcom gave Monster Hunter Wilds a cool raid boss from Final Fantasy XIV, but its recent Steam reviews have tanked since the update over new apparent performance and driver issues. This news comes from GamesRadar.com and is written by Kaan Sirin. Monster Hunter Wilds might have given players a cool raid boss from Final Fantasy XIV, but is not enough to make up for persistent performance issues that have been with the game since its release, at least not based on its recent Steam reviews. The Final Fantasy XIV and Monster Hunter Wilds collab is well underway, adding the Omega Planetus, a variant of the frequent Final Fantasy super boss, to Capcom's monstrous leather pant-making sim. Cool, but not cool enough to distract from PC performance woes. On Steam, recent user reviews have taken a nosedive starting from when the crossover update went live on September 29th, 2025. At the time of writing, 77% of almost 5,000 user reviews logged in the last month have been negative on the platform, and 770 of those gave it a thumbs down on the update's release date. Quote, unplayable slop, even the lowest graphic settings, 40 FPS is a freaking miracle, end quote, one player with 187 hours in the game said. Quote, the Final Fantasy collab, I would have loved it if it wasn't trying to fry my PC, end quote. Another said, quote, it's been 8 months since release and this game still suffers from heavy performance issues that plagued it since launch with no major fixes in sight, end quote. Another fan with almost 50 hours of playtime wrote, quote, it looks like Capcom are more concerned with paid content slash cosmetics than actually fixing the key problems that plague the game, end quote. Just last month, Capcom promised it would tackle Monster Hunter Wild's wonky performance with a big update in the months ahead. Quote, although we will continue to implement gradual improvements in the weeks ahead, we are targeting free title update for this winter to implement a multifaceted plan, including CPU and GPU related optimizations, followed by a second stage of mitigation measures afterwards, end quote, the publisher said. Well, if you've been listening to us for this long, you already know Monster Hunter Wilds has come out to probably the fastest selling Monster Hunter title for the company to date. We also know that after its initial release window, it has been review bombed to hell based off of performance issues, lack of content, and what have you. This is nothing new. It's just the news that we kind of have to keep going in on. My thoughts are Capcom can't seem to catch a break, or Monster Hunter Wilds doesn't seem to be able to catch a break. Is Title 4 update do or die for Monster Hunter Wilds? It seems like everything is kind of riding on this, based off of, you know, internet backlash. But Ryan, from our last episode, did bring up a good point that, you know, even though there's a lot of negativity and there's all these downvotes and all these, the Steam review is mostly negative, there are still so many concurrent players till this day that maybe it's just the vocal minority just being as loud as they possibly can. But, you know, we'll see when the time comes, when the updates come, if that'll be the turning point. You know, for me personally, I've played a bit of the Final Fantasy 14 crossover, and from the last time I booted it up, it did run noticeably worse. I got, like one of the Reddit users were saying, I got around 40 FPS, which usually I get a little bit more than that. I'm usually hanging around like the 50s, mid-50s to 60. But yeah, it's been running a lot worse since the update. But yeah, as always, this is nothing new. I think me and everyone from the Palabros here, we remain cautiously optimistic for the optimization patches in the free title update for coming this December. So we'll see what happens with that. For our second story, Elder Dragon Malzino arrives with the autumn hunt in 2025. This news comes from MonsterHunterNow.com. Hunters, starting Thursday, November 20th, 2025, local time, the Elder Dragon Malzino will appear in Elder Dragon Interceptions. To celebrate its debut, we'll be holding an online event, Autumn Hunt 2025. By purchasing an event ticket, you'll enjoy the following benefits: no cooldown after joining Elder Dragon Interceptions or a Huntathons, and Elder Dragon Interceptions will feature only Malzino, giving you far more chances to slay it. On top of that, you can earn special rewards such as exclusive layered equipment inspired by Malzino and an exclusive Autumn Hunt 2025 sticker. This paid event will be held across two periods, November 20th to the 21st, Thursday and Friday, and November 22nd to the 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. Choosing the time that works best for you and get ready. Choose the time that's best for you and get ready to take on Malzino. The event ticket price for this is $8.99. A special bundle will also be available on the web store for $8.99, which include an item box expansion as a bonus. Tickets will go on sale around Wednesday, November 5th. Exclusive perks for the event ticket holders: you get to receive Malzino motif layered equipment upon purchase, receive an exclusive Monster Hunter Now Autumn Hunt 2025 sticker upon purchase, Elder Dragon Interceptions will feature only Malzino, Kushaladora, Teostra, Nirgante, Kirin, Camellios, and Namiel will not appear on the field for ticket holders during the event and will return afterward. No cooldown after joining Elder Dragon Interceptions and Huntathons, allowing you to join at any time. Elder Dragon Interceptions will occur more frequently at points where Huntathons and Elder Dragon Interceptions usually occur. Large monsters will appear after 30 minutes. The access range will be expanded by 50% at all times, and you will get double the materials from slaying small monsters and from gathering points. Cannot be combined with a Wonder Orb, Wonder Droplet, or Wonder Powder. Access to the limited time quest event, Autumn Hunt 2025. Let's see, what else do they have here? They posted limited time quest, Autumn Hunt 2025. Take on a limited time quest to slay or repel Malzino. Only available to ticket holders. Main rewards lineup: exclusive hunter medal, exclusive guild card background, weapon refining parts, armor refining parts, and Malzino materials. So that's it there for you Monster Hunter Now folks. I'm still playing Monster Hunter Now, although I don't believe I've ever spent a dime. So yeah, that's kind of just my quick Monster Hunter fix phone game. I actually have been bringing my 3DS to work here and there, to since I wanted a more, I guess, substantial Monster Hunter game to play. So I've been playing Generations on my 3DS, even though I technically do have it on my Switch, but because the Switch 2 came out, I did like the virtual game card thing to the Switch 2 and have yet to receive my Waterfield Designs bag, so I don't really bring my Switch 2 out anywhere. So it's on there, playing Generations on 3DS where it started. So but yeah, that's the news for your Monster Hunter Now freaks. Of course, if you hear that sound, it means that we are all readied up for the main event of the evening. Meet, 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 meet. First, I want to start off with a news story for the upcoming Monster Hunter Stories game. Monster Hunter Stories 3 Twisted Reflection showcases combat and a bigger world. This news comes by way of HardcoreGamer.com and is written by Jacob Bukacek. The main Monster Hunter series has grown widely popular over the past several years, and it's not hard to see why. Fighting massive monsters with cool weapons alongside good friends in beautiful environments is enough to sell just about any adventure game fan. It's not, unfortunately, the easiest game to get the hang of, though, even with the simplifications introduced in Monster Hunter World. Fortunately, prospective fans have an alternative in the Monster Hunter story, Monster Hunter Stories side series. These offer fans a more traditional RPG take on Monster Hunter, with more focus on story and turn-based combat. This isn't to say that Monster Hunter Stories isn't still Monster Hunter through and through, and Monster Hunter Stories 3 Twisted Reflection makes this clear, clearer than ever with more monsters to encounter and an even bigger world to explore. Hardcore Gamer got a peek at the world at Tokyo Game Show 2025, and it's looking promising. The article goes on to talk about world traversal and how combat works like the past two entries, and also the inclusion of tougher, quote, feral monsters from the demo. For the full article, go on over to hardcoregamer.com and give Jacob the click. But I thought this would be a good point to transition to our main event of the evening, which is me talking about my Monster Hunter Stories journey so far. Of course, I never played Monster Hunter Stories. I wasn't really interested in it because for me, Monster Hunter was always a game that you played with friends. It was never really about story. I still feel that same exact way even with Monster Hunter Wilds now, even though they kind of put more of an emphasis on the story. That's probably the worst part for me, actually. I just wanted to get straight into the hunting, you know, stuff with friends. We'd stay up literally till the break of dawn playing Monster Hunter on our 3DSs and all that. But yeah, safe to say, Monster Hunter Stories was never a big RPG guy, even though Monster Hunter proper has a lot of RPG elements and stuff like that. It's also action. It plays in real time. So it had a good chunk of difficulty. That's kind of why I really gravitated to Monster Hunter proper when I was first introduced to it back on Freedom Unite. Monster Hunter Stories came out, released in North America September 8th, 2017 on the 3DS and worldwide June 14th, 2024. Developed by Marvelous Games and published by Capcom USA. I was never interested in playing it. I think when it came out on the 3DS, I decided to buy it for Brian and Ryan just as like a quick gift for Christmas. I also had it myself on 3DS, but I think at that point I probably played about 20 minutes of it, and just safe to say, same thing, wasn't really for me. I just wanted to play Monster Hunter proper, and yeah, it just didn't go anywhere. But seeing the trailer for Monster Hunter Stories 3 Twisted Reflection, this looked so much different from the initial Monster Hunter Stories game. You know, the very first game that released in 2017 looked very kiddie. Didn't look like it was like age appropriate, but wasn't like the right age for me with like the chibi characters, just very happy-go-lucky kind of plot. And then seeing the trailer for the new one coming out in March of 2026, I was like, damn, this game looks like fucking, what is this game called? Fire Emblem. It looks like Fire Emblem, like, what is it, Three Houses? It looks like that, but with Monster Hunter. And I was like, this seems kind of interesting, you know? And I was like, okay, I'm running a Monster Hunter podcast. I gotta know more about all these games. So I decided to go back to Monster Hunter Stories 1. And I'm currently on the journey. Let's see, where am I at? I am just shy of 8 hours in Monster Hunter Stories, and I gotta tell you, I am loving every second of it. I initially thought that this was just gonna be a Pokemon game, but with a Monster Hunter skin on top. It is so much of everything that I love about the old Monster Hunter wrapped in a traditional kind of RPG style game. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of like quirks that they keep from the old Monster Hunter games. One that I like literally freaked out about was they have, it's not a glitch, but they even have like fast gathering where if you crouch before you start gathering, the animation is a lot faster. And I know that's so minuscule to kind of get excited about, but like that is one of the things that I remember from like learning Monster Hunter. Like the thing that I loved about starting Monster Hunter was it is such a high difficulty curve of just learning the game. There's so many systems, there's so many mechanics, there's combination lists, there's from Freedom Unite, probably 13, 12, there's 12 weapons that all work almost completely differently. And then you have skills and armor sets and all these things that are just, for me at that time, when, let's see, I got it on the Vita, what was that, 2013, 2014? I don't remember. But when I started Monster Hunter Freedom Unite with my friends, they had already been more established, Max and Brian, to be, you know, yeah, they had just been, this wasn't their first Monster Hunter. This was my first Monster Hunter, and I remember taking the game home, and I think I had Hot Shots Golf for the Vita, Uncharted, and this, and I already beat both of them, and I was like, okay, there's nothing really else on the Vita to play. Let's figure out Monster Hunter. Booted it up, and straight away got my ass whooped. Didn't know a lick of what the hell I was doing, and I felt discouraged. I was like, I don't get this game. I meet up back with Brian and Ryan, or Brian and Max, and they're just, you know, taking to it like a fucking, like a dolphin in water. And I was like, I don't get what I'm doing wrong. Like, I play games, I'm a hardcore gamer, why don't I understand how to fucking play this game? Well, one, I don't read. I'm just like, there's so much text in the Monster Hunter games that I just don't care. There's just too much padding. So, one, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with all these systems. And then two, because of that, I don't know, like, how to navigate anything. So basically, I get to a Yon Garuga from sheer will, and I just cannot beat this thing with whatever I have. I'm probably still using just the straight up iron weapons, and I haven't created an armor set. And I remember that week being so daunting, because it was like, man, this game's so fucking hard, but I spent, what, $250 on a Vita, brand new Vita, and I'm just like wasting my money. And then I sat down with it for the rest of that week, and I put my head down, and I kept grinding and grinding until I understood, like, the attack patterns of the Yon Garuga, and everything. I wouldn't say everything clicked from then on, but I was able to beat that challenge, and I was able to create my weapon and my entire armor set just from that one fight. And that was a huge wall to jump over. And I think that's the thing that everyone kind of, that's like part of the reason why everyone kind of complains about Monster Hunter Wilds, is there isn't that challenge anymore. There isn't a skill check monster for you to stop you in your place and having to reevaluate when to get new armor or build towards being able to beat this new monster. But I digress. That's a story for a different thing. So I finally get into there, and I was like, I love fucking Monster Hunter now. And then shortly after, I learned how the farm system worked. I learned how the skill sets and gems and just all the Monster Hunter things, learned it from that point forward. And that's the thing that playing more than 20 minutes of Monster Hunter Stories has brought me back to. It's brought me back to that place of, I'm learning a new Monster Hunter, or I'm learning Monster Hunter again for the first time, but in 2025, with everything I already know now. So, yeah, like, bringing me back to, I can crouch to fast gather. That shit unlocked that nostalgia part of my brain and was like, this is fucking great. I love that. Another thing, the wonky, like, add monster deaths when you, like, kill them in battle. For instance, when you fight a Velociprey and you kill it, it flies back and it kind of lands midair, but then the animation stops, so it just kind of slides down. Again, very little things to deal with to make anyone else excited, but yeah, it unlocks that nostalgia part of my brain. So I had that going off for like the first like 20-30 minutes of actually playing the game. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the story. You know, we start off in a small village where people befriend slash ride monsters and become riders. This is completely separate from anything Monster Hunter that we've known before. As of right now, we know that we are the only village that does this. We are people that befriend monsters and become riders. Everyone else, they're just Monster Hunter, like proper Monster Hunters. So that is something that's kind of interesting, you know? Again, I can't say much as to other Monster Hunter stories because pretty much just kind of skip through them. I know that, I guess, every single Monster Hunter story from the proper games is basically something to do with the ecological balance of monsters. There's like a new Elder Dragon disturbing, you know, the circle of life, and that's kind of why we have to go and do our thing. That's pretty much every single thing from what I got from playing all these games. But this one is kind of interesting, you know? It's a different take, so I kind of appreciated that. Of course, we go to our three best friends. I created my character. I always have Hot Link is my character from Monster Hunter. It's always like a ripoff of Link from The Legend of Zelda. That's kind of been always my like headcanon for creating a character for RPGs. It's like, oh, I want to create a different character from a game that I know and love and just transport him to this universe. So it's always Hot Link. But now I have a cute little chibi version of him, so that's kind of fun. One of our other friends, Lilia, she is the headstrong, smart type. She's nice, she's fun, she's cool. And then we have Cheval. He is kind of like your Riku from Kingdom Hearts. He's like your brother, friend, you know, just a good childhood best friend. And then we come around, the beginning of the story is centered around this kinship stone. Basically, it's a stone that reacts to building friendships with monsters. That's the whole thing, right? You befriend a monster, and the stronger bond that you have with them, the better your kinship stone reacts. Something like that. So yeah, we stumble across an egg, and it turns out to be a Rathalos, and then the Rathalos imprints on Hot Link. And then we just all of a sudden have a monster. The same day when we come back to the village, it gets attacked by a blighted Nargacuga. It's a super cool Nargacuga, especially I'm from Freedom Unite, so Nargacuga was the title monster for that one. But oh man, it's so cool. You just see these black shadows creep in, and like this black fog just kind of dilapidates all these flowers, and then in that fog, in that smoke, you see the Nargacuga's like red eyes just kind of like blade, like peering through the smoke. So cool. Anyways, the Nargacuga comes to town, starts ripping up everything, and lo and behold, it spies a house on the top of the hill. Turns out to be Cheval's house. Everyone's running away, but Cheval turns around to look at the house. He already knows mom's inside. And you can guess from here, Nargacuga jumps off the top rope. Bam! Mom is done. She's gone. And Cheval is devastated. And that's how we start the game. So 1 year later passes, and Cheval is now motherless. And he has lost all hope. And now he is just straight up evil. This dude wants to become a rider to kill all blighted monsters. And the blight, we don't know where it comes from. It's actually, the blight kind of comes from like a strange purple glowing rock thing that seems to be made of the same material that your kinship stone does. So that has something to do. This is already interesting, more interesting than Monster Hunter stories have been. So like I'm enjoying that part of it so far. Of course, the village gets visited then by basically what we know as the Hunter's Guild, by this lady from the Hunter's Guild, from Monster Hunter proper. Lilia, she gets excited. She decides she doesn't want to be a Monster Hunter or a rider from your village. She wants to learn more about monsters, so she basically just ups and goes with them and becomes a handler to learn all about the monsters. So we haven't met up with her yet from where we are in the story, but that's kind of where we left off with Lilia. For her to become a handler. Say what up to Alma for me. And then, moving on in the story, we found a Berioth in the next village. I was super excited because, you know, the whole point of the game is to kind of catch monsters and befriend them so that you can use them in battle and stuff like that. And so I was like, cool, it's a Berioth. It's not a Yunkutku or an Apnoth or something small. And so I try to fight it, and I realize that there's something that's like kind of hidden under its wingspan, and it's a little girl that it's hurt, like she's like unconscious. And so we try to help her out and we bring her back to the village that we're in, and it turns out when she comes to, that Berioth that was protecting her is her Monsty is monster slash best friend Monsty. And so we're like, wait a minute, we thought we were the only village that were monster hunter riders. What the hell you mean you're a rider? And so, yeah, that's kind of just like a weird, not a weird, but like a cool little twist on, okay, so we thought there was just hunters and us were riders. Now you're saying there's a new rider. Okay, that's cool fork in the story. But anyways, we go ahead and heal her up. Her name is Avinia. But basically, we leave our village to go search for help, I think, for new monsters. Let me dial this back. Riders from this village don't leave the village. That's not a thing. If you're a rider, you stay in this village, and that's it. But for some reason, we're able to leave just because story. And so we were supposed to find this guy, this handsome young man, that is supposed to teach us the rite of channeling, which we'll get to later in the battle mechanics. But yeah, that's kind of where we leave off in the story. We found Avinia, healed her, ended up finding the man. Turns out, not so handsome, not so young, but he does teach us the rite of channeling. But before we get into that, let's go into the battle system. Like I said, I originally thought this was just going to be Pokemon. I thought it was literally going to be straight up Pokemon. I thought, okay, I know Monster Hunter. They have specific move sets, you know, Tailspin. They have, like, Breathe Fire, some shit like that. Wasn't the case. It turns out it is more of a Rock, Paper, Scissors RPS-style turn-based RPG, which, for me, the only RPGs I've ever played was Final Fantasy X, 16, 7, and 7 Remake. I've never played a Fire Emblem game, but I'm thinking this is the exact style of how things go, right? They have different weapons that are better against other weapons. So yeah, this is a rock, paper style battle system where power beats technique, technique beats speed, and speed beats power. The cool thing about this, though, is that you go into battle with your monster. I thought just like Pokemon, you are just like a trainer and you send your monster out to battle. Every battle is a 2v2, possibly more. But you only control your character. And your character, you can equip them with different armor, different weapons. This is all like very much Monster Hunter. You gather weapons and materials to make, or you gather materials to make your weapons and your armor, and they all have skill sets. It's so weird, the juxtaposition, because I have to like actively tell myself that this isn't Pokemon. This is literally Monster Hunter, just in a different form. Like, it's like ordering a burrito. Like, if Monster Hunter proper was a burrito, Monster Hunter Stories is a burrito bowl. It's literally the same ingredients, just in a different form factor. And I think that's the best way I can put it. And it's great, you know, like, as someone who's played all these Monster Hunter games, this is really good. Like, it's an easier transition, just a different way of consuming it. But yeah, so your monster is AI controlled. They have a mind of their own. They choose when they want to attack, what type of attack they want to do, whether they want to do technique or speed or power, or they want to do some sort of special move that is, they're all color coordinated and stuff like that. And then you, as a hunter, you fight alongside your monster to take down, you know, the opposing monster. But yeah, this is where I keep coming back to as like, oh shit, this game is crazy. Because just like I said, just like how it's the same thing, it's a burrito, but a burrito bowl. You can knock down monsters, you can attack different parts of monsters, break different parts, and this all kind of chains into kind of how you play the game. And let's see, I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, the battle system is crazy. Let's see, there are things, so you can do team up attacks with your monster based off of, you have to meet two conditions. One, your monster has to be attacking the same monster, which I've seen a battle where we face one monster each, or we've faced two monsters, so it's like a 2v2. So yeah, if your monster is picking the same monster and they're choosing a specific attack, if you choose the same attack, say technique, and your monster chooses technique, and you guys are both aiming at the same monster, you guys can do a team up attack, which will do extra damage. Of course, your monster chooses its own attacks, right? And so does the opposing monster. So you also have to consider the fact that the enemy monster is going to be choosing an attack type that will beat out your monster. So it's like chess and Pokemon and Monster Hunter. It's crazy. It's so cool. And then there's also the fact that, so if you play rock, paper, scissors, of course, there's gonna be a chance where you guys pick the same type of attack and you guys cancel out or clash. You guys both take damage, and depending on your strength and power and stuff like that and weapon type, that'll kind of calculate the damage output for you guys. But there's like, yeah, anytime there is a monster and I guess your hunter that are attacking each other at the same time, if you guys are both attacking on the same turn, you guys join this thing called head-to-head, and that is like the true rock, paper, scissors mechanic, where if I choose power and the monster chooses technique, power beats technique, so I'll do extra damage. And if you, like, the cool thing about this is if you beat someone in rock, paper, scissors 2 times in a row, you get to knock down that monster, meaning they can't do anything for another turn. So there's a lot of strategy going into this. Also, just like Monster Hunter proper, each monster has their own set of like moves. Like when you fight a Rathalos, right? You know that it at some point it's gonna spit out fireballs, at some point it's gonna fly, at some point it's gonna do the flying claw attack, at some point it's gonna do the spin attack, like the tail whip. Just like Monster Hunter proper, each monster has their tells and their they might not have tells in this game, but they have kind of a rhythm that they attack. And so if you find out that pattern, you're going to be able to guess, not guess, but you'll be able to make informed decisions based off of how that monster is attacking. And then you just get to unleash your plan of action there. So knowing monster patterns is fucking awesome. Like learning them on the fly, or having getting your binoculars to like scope out the monster during battle, see what it's weak to, see what it tends to use, whether it be power, technique, or speed attacks, and just kind of learning the monster from there. Where in Monster Hunter proper, you learn, just like me, learning how to fight the Yon-Garuga, you keep going up against it and against it and against it over and over and over and over again until you learn its patterns. So, yeah, like, the battle system in this is awesome. It is so cool. I've never played an RPG-style game like this before. So, of course, you know, people who have played rock, paper, scissors-type RPGs, it's probably just whatever. But this being my first, super excited. I really love it. And there's also more depth to it. Each weapon type, they have combinations just like they do in Monster Hunter proper. For example, if you do two power attacks and, let's see, I keep saying it every time I play Monster Hunter Stories in combat. Is it PPS? No, PPT, TTS, SSP. Power, technical, speed. Speed, power. If you do that combination, those three variations of combinations with a greatsword, you will do more damage. So, if I do two power attacks and then land a technical attack, instead of doing 50 damage, I'll do 80 damage. So, you also have that mechanic into play. And then also, I believe, I don't know the conditions for this, but at some points, if you're like doing good or some conditions are met, there's going to be a mini game that kind of just kicks off. It's basically, if you ever played Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3, the old PS2 games, you remember it's basically an arena fighter. It's more 2D-ish, but it is 3D. They have points in the fight where it's basically cutscenes from the show, right? But they have rock, paper, scissors style things where you could pick square, triangle, circle, or X. And basically, they have all these different kind of mini games that happens in the battle as well. Like, there's one mini game where you have to rotate your right stick as many times to kind of beat out, to kind of fill your gauge against the attacking monster's gauge. And whoever wins on the, like, tug-of-war kind of gauge that it fills up wins that battle and does extra damage. And so, yeah, there's so many mechanics in the battle system that it is just... I'm really surprised at how in-depth it actually all is, and I'm glad that this isn't as kind of kiddie as I thought the game would initially be. Also, we didn't even get into, there's supers in the game. This is coming from your kinship stone. So basically, the better you do in battle, the more, I guess, kinship energy, which is kind of like your bond with your monstie. The better you do in battle, the more that super bar fills up, and then you're going to be able to ride your monstie, which basically gives you more health and defense and attack power. There are also drawbacks to this. You can't use items. If you get knocked off of your monstie, you're not able to kind of do your super move. But basically, super moves, there's a level 1, level 2, level 3. It's all the same super move for whatever you have unlocked. There's just, I guess, power levels associated with the different levels. But basically, to get up to level 3, you have to be riding on top of your monstie, and then you also have to beat the other monster in head-to-head rock, paper, scissors battles. So when you do that, you gain a level, and then I think they say if you get hit twice or you lose twice, you'll get knocked off your monstie as well, and I believe you lose a turn, like you're knocked down as well. So there's drawbacks, there's risks, but when you pull it off in battle, it feels so good. It feels just like, you know, like a high stakes rock, paper, scissors battle in real life. And then you get the added effect of pulling off a super, and I love the animations for these supers. The first one I ever saw was from a Velocidrome, and basically it kind of does like this really cool jump and like spin. It looks like a saw, kind of like Sonic from the old 2D Sonic games. Kind of turns into like a saw, and then it does a dive kick where like millions of like feet or just like claws and shit are attacking the oncoming monster. And it's just animated so beautifully, and there's so much charm and so much love and attention to detail with the animation and storytelling of the animation. There's another one, my Abdanoth. It, like, this super, it's weird. So the super for this one, basically the Abdanoth kind of charges at, you know, the monster that you're targeting, and then the result of like hitting that monster is both your monsty and the monster that was attacked are both downed for a turn. So it's a good way to kind of like reset everything. But the way that that happens is the Abdanoth starts charging towards the monster it's attacking, and then slips on a, like, literally cartoon slips on a banana peel, and it just like gets full sent into the monster, smacks it, and they're both just on the floor, just like writhing in pain. And I think that's the thing that I love the most about this, is that old Monster Hunter games had this charm and this kind of levity to it that I think was lost upon Monster Hunter World and Monster Hunter Wilds. Like, Monster Hunter Wilds for sure is like way too serious. You barely see Palicos. I think you get like one really big Palico cutscene from like the Chemetries, and that was like, whereas like you go to past Monster Hunter games, Palicos are everywhere. There's a bunch of weird elders, there's a bunch of felines, everything's vibrant, everything's kind of funny. Even though there's like these world-ending threats or these ecological threats, there's always this juxtaposition of like fun, kind of just like, hey, like, this is a crazy game where monsters and shit are appearing out of nowhere, but hey, we have fun cats that cook for you, and we yell "so tasty" after we cook like a well-done steak. It's just, yeah, it, playing Monster Hunter Stories in 2025, it brings me back to playing and falling in love with old Monster Hunter games. And yeah, it is just, I'm loving that part of it right now. And the last thing I'll talk about with the battle system is the whole point of kind of playing through Monster Hunter Stories is to, you know, to obtain and hatch your own monsters for them to become like your best friends and basically your partners, basically Pokemon. And to do that, you use a paintball. You can use a paintball, or you can meet certain conditions in battle after you knock them down. And basically when you do that, at the end of the fight, that monster, if they don't die, they run back to their den or retreat. And basically you want to make them retreat back to their den so that you can go to their den and basically do a very light version of egg quests in Monster Hunter proper. If you don't know what egg quests are, basically you go to the monster's den, pick up their egg, and you can't dodge roll. It's very cumbersome. You're hella slow unless you get like a feline foodie skill, and you're just hauling this thing as like all the way back to your base camp before anyone hits you so that you don't drop the egg. If you've never done an egg quest before in Monster Hunter proper, you should try one. They're funny, awesome, infuriating at times, but basically that's what you do here. You know, after the fight, you make the monster go back to their den, you grab their egg, and then come back, and then you get to take up to, I believe, 9 eggs at a time and hatch all of them at your, you know, egg stable. And from there you get to see like little cute baby versions of your monsters that you've caught or stolen. And you know, the fun part for me is you get to name them just like Pokemon. I think with Pokemon, I don't know, I have this weird thing in my brain where I will never learn that Pokemon's actual name if I name them or nickname them. So I'm just like, yeah, whatever, I'll just keep them the same thing. But for this, I'm having a lot of fun nicknaming my own monsters. And so, you know, the very first monster that you get, oh shit, going back to the story part of it, I forgot to tell you, when the Nargacuga attacked, because our first monster technically was the Rathalos, the Rathalos tries to save everybody, and it's fighting this Nargacuga, but it's a little baby Rathalos, so it's not doing that much damage, and then the Nargacuga ends up smacking it in the face, giving it, like, this scar, and the baby Rathalos gets flung across, like, the village and falls down, like, this waterfall. We're never seeing it ever again, we think. And yeah, so the first actual monster that we get is a Velocidrome. And so when I got to name it, you know, I'm a big fan of puns, so I named him Jerome, aka Velocidrome. Next monster we got was a Yuncut Ku. I got a blue version of that, so I can name him Yuncut Blue. Also have an Aptanoth, Opta, Yip Yip, for you Airbender fans out there. And then just this most recent playthrough, I got a Shazam Trios, and then my newest monsty was a Legombi, aka Childish Gambino. So I'm having so much fun naming these monsters. And if you are interested in naming monsters, come by twitch.tv/KrabbyPatty while I'm playing Monster Hunter Stories. You'll be able to name your own monsters there as well. But yeah, the systems of, like, I'm enjoying the systems of, you know, getting your monster, hatching them, naming them. I thought it was kind of the end there, but I, like, this is the biggest departure from Pokemon, is the rite of channeling. Basically, each monster has a 3x3 grid where they have separate skills, just kind of placed like battleship, just kind of like plotted anywhere in that 3x3 grid. And basically, this kind of mechanic, the rite of channeling, is you take two monsters, you make one monster inherit skills from another monster, and wherever that the monster that's giving off, like, its genes, wherever that skill point is on that map of the 3x3 grid, will move onto your new monster, and then that monster goes away. So now you have the skills of this new monster, and it's basically a new, not a new monster, but it has new skill attacks and new moves. So for example, the one that the tutorial basically was for our Legombi that we just hatched, we kind of cross-pollinated it with a Yuncut Ku. So if you know, a Legombi is basically a snow bunny, does ice attacks. Yeah, that's just kind of what a Legombi is. We splice it together with a Yuncut Ku, and now Yuncut Ku does fire attacks, and I have open slots on my grid for, you know, for more skills. Now my Legombi shoots fire, and now, like, that just happened in my last playthrough, and that's kind of when I sat back, put the controller down, and was like, holy shit. That was like my holy shit moment. This is gonna get crazy. I am just shy of 8 hours in the game, and you drop this shit on me? Like, my mind starts racing with all the possibilities of what I can do, right? I'm like, oh my god. Excuse me. I need to get a Nargacuga, cross-pollinate it with a Devil Joe, cross-pollinate that with a Rathalos. Just like all these monsters, I want to fill up that 3x3 grid and just have up to 5 monsters just be absolute murderers. And that is like the coolest fucking thing, because when you're first introduced to the stable for hatching your eggs, you're like, you're also introducing this mechanic where I could like straight up dump like a batch full of monsters. Like, why would I, like, well, first of all, why are there 400 slots? There's not even 400 monsters. I'm not even gonna kind of catch that many. Like, why do I need that? And then also, why am I able to, like, mass dump monsters or mass release monsters? And then, yeah, that thought goes right through my mind after, like, they reveal that you can move genes over through the rite of channeling. And I was like, this is insane, and I cannot wait to get back into Monster Hunter Stories, because the possibilities are now endless. And this is Monster Hunter Stories 1. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Monster Hunter Stories. Also, with that kind of rite of channeling skill set thing, they also said that if you line up three of the same skill type, so like if you have three fires in a row, either horizontal, vertical, or I guess diagonally, you get an extra bonus. So there's so many incentives to just kind of keep capturing the same monster or whatever monster you want to line it up to get them in that same pattern. And so, like I said, the possibilities are endless. That part of, like, that was the last part of my playthrough. And my mind literally just exploded because I was like, I can't wait to play more of this game because literally there's so many possibilities for that to happen. And that, fellow hunters, is where I left off on my Monster Hunter Stories journey. Part 1 and 2 are up right now of the playthrough on youtube.com/thepalabros in glorious 4K. So go and check those videos out. Give them a like, share them, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already to the channel. I'm trying to finish Monster Hunter Stories 1 and 2 before the third installment comes out on March 13th, 2026. And you can bet that I will be streaming every single bit of that playthrough at twitch.tv/KrabbyPatty. So come on through to the stream, say hello in chat, and you'll be able to name a monster of your very own. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Palabros. Thank you so much for everyone in chat. Thank you, fellow hunters, for being a part of this show. And if you guys enjoyed this episode of the Palabros, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and rate us to help us out with the algorithm. If you want more Monster Hunter content, don't forget to check us out at youtube.com/thepalabros. If you want to keep up with me and all the other games that I play, check me out at youtube.com and twitch.tv/KrabbyPatty. And as always, happy hunting.